Come on, what a great day to be in church. I want to thank you all for being here with us today. If you're joining us online or in the lobby, we want to say a big welcome to all of our church family. We love being one church in many places, and thank the Lord for you. Hey, if you're with us for the very first time, if you would grab your smartphone and just text the letters LPC to the number 31996, and we'll just follow up with some simple next steps for you. I want to lead us in a moment as your pastor, but first I want to say again, thank you all for being here. Thank you for joining our church. And I do want to remind you that our local officials have asked us to consider social distancing and mask usage, especially right now. And honestly, there are members of our church right now that are struggling very hard with COVID. It's hitting very close to home for us. And so I'm not changing our requirements. I am encouraging you to increase your mask participation and distancing as you can. But I love that the room's filling up, to be honest with you. And so we're looking to actually add another service because of that. Again, looking at a 7:30 a.m. service. Come on, Jesus. All of you 9:45s are like, terrible for them. I don't know what we're clapping for. But thank you for your grace and generosity towards other people. And I will tell you this, like, no matter what you decide or what others decide, like, just be gracious towards them, okay? By the way, I love baby dedication Sundays. I love them. I used to be the one to do them always. But selfishly because I just love dedicating babies. But we got a bunch of sharp pastors and isn't Pastor Jordan great? Come on, everybody. I just love the guy and I love his leadership and his heart and he's overseeing a lot of our pastoral care right now. In fact, if you've gotten phone calls from anyone on our team, it's him who's facilitating that. And so we're trying to call through a lot of folks in our church. But in particular, today was really special for Stephanie and me. Watching one of the couples dedicate their second baby, and they were in our small group for years praying about their infertility and their inability to get pregnant. And I mean, we cried with them, we prayed, laid hands for a long time, and now today they dedicated their second baby to the Lord. So that's an answer to prayer. And I'm telling you, if you're struggling with the multiplying part, you do the fruitful, I'll help you pray over the multiplying. Bro, you're dead, by the way. I've said some dumb stuff before. I ain't said that. Just kidding. But it's true. We had a lady one time come. She started coming to LifePoint, and she was in our Next Steps class, and she said, I was greeting the class, and she goes, Pastor Mike, I heard you pray for people and they get pregnant. I was like, no, wait a minute. That's not even how the science works. I said, I don't know what you heard, but that ain't right. I said, but I will pray for you, and I will pray that the Lord help you and your husband conceive. And I said, you do your part and I will publicly lay hands and pray for you and do my part. 10 months later, she had a baby. Praise God. God answers prayer. That has nothing to do with me. That has to do with God answering prayer and being a healer. Amen, everybody? It was funny. It was in front of about 20 new members and I'm this stranger to all of them and I'm praying. And I got done. I said, amen. I go home and get to work. And then I left the room. It was so funny. Hey, what a week we've had. And let me just be your pastor for a few minutes, okay? Whatever. Hey, online crowd. Let me just be your pastor for a few minutes, okay? This is the place God has assigned for me to speak. I don't have other platforms unless I make them up or unless I take advantage of social media or whatever. And I don't have any ambition to get outside of the platforms God has me in. And so this is my space, and you are the church that God has assigned me to care for. So I want to speak to you as your pastor for a few minutes about what's going on in our world and how we respond. Frankly, I'm pretty bothered by some of the things that have happened in the last 5 days, really in the last 9 months. It's been an anxious time for a lot of people. It's been a time where people have expressed more than ever grief and fear and anxiety. Depression, suicidal ideation, drug addiction, just abandoning family, all of that stuff is on the rise like crazy right now. And it's because people don't know what to do with what's happening. People are anxious, people are nervous, they're fearful. And we are rushing to say things without rushing to listening. We're rushing to have opinions without rushing to prayer. And I just want to challenge you, LifePoint. I'm not responsible for any other church in this country. I'm not responsible for Washington, D.C., I'm not responsible for America yet. The church should shine brighter than anyone else in the world right now. The church should shine the brightest, and what should shine out of us is hope, peace, love, joy, and unity. Now, let me tell you something. Our culture will try every way possible to create false unity. There is no such thing as unity as it's done at the hands of broken people. Jesus prayed in John 17 to the Father, and he prays this prayer over you as Christians. I don't know if you realize you're in the Bible here in John 17. In John 17, he prays for his immediate disciples, the 12, and then he prays for, he says, now I pray not only for them, but for everyone who will believe on the message they preach, which is us. And here's what he prayed. Not that they win their fights, or they have their way, or that they get what's coming to them. Here's what he prayed. I pray that they be as one, just as, in the same way, mirrored after, following the pattern of, Jesus said, just as you, Father, and I, the Son, are one, that the body of Christ would be one. And I think what grieves me the most, like I expect people who don't follow God to act godlessly. I expect that. Don't you? I mean, don't you expect Titans fans to wear Titans gear and Steelers fans to wear Steelers gear and Alabama fans to do their thing? Don't you expect that? I expect people who don't follow Jesus to act like they don't follow Jesus. But church, I expect you to follow the prayers of Jesus. And what's really troubling to me as your pastor is to watch church people come unglued against church people, to watch families fall apart. Never before do I remember an inability of people to be civil towards others who disagree with them. Like, we have a history as a nation of different sides debating and arguing, and that's part of what makes our country stronger, is just contrary ideas that we debate and argue. But never before, and honestly, it's been on the rise in the last couple of years, where if you disagree with me, I will cancel you. That is absurd, and it's in the church. It's in the church because we're partisan, we're political, and we're racially motivated, or we're racially insensitive, or we're politically and financially motivated, or we have all these opinions about everything. But Jesus didn't pray that some group of Christians would win. He prayed that we'd be united. And I want to ask you to drop all of your divisiveness and drop anything that puts you against other believers and pick up Jesus and pick up unity and pick up peace from God. Honestly, we are to be one as the Father and Christ are one. Here's where we won't shine bright, is when we're divided. Have you ever kicked a fire, a bonfire, and spread all the ashes apart? The fire dies out. And when we're divided over politics and race and culture and who should be president and what happened in the Capitol, when we're divided on these things, and let me tell you something, I love this nation. I'm bothered by what happened last week. Somebody waved a Confederate flag in the capital of the United States of America. That's a flag for a nation we beat in a civil war. You don't wave any other nation's flag boldly like that in our nation's capital. You just don't do it. And not to mention what it does for the racial discussion in our country and what it does to our black friends and Hispanic friends in our country, what that says. I'm bothered by that. But I won't divide from my family for it. Jesus said in Revelation 2, I preached this 2 years ago. He writes to the Christians at Ephesus. You know, Jesus wrote no letters to the world. Isn't that crazy? He wrote none of the letters to just random non-saved people. He wrote to Christians. And he writes in Revelation 2, he says, I love everything you're doing. You're doing so much good for my name's sake. You're holding leaders accountable. You're doing all this stuff. He goes, here's what I have against you. You've abandoned me as your first love. And I think that's such an easy drift for Christians, especially because we've been taught, I love America, I love my party, I love my race, I love my culture, I love my language. We've been taught to love so many things in Babylon that we've abandoned our first love for Jesus. And it shows in how we treat other Christians. Listen, I'm going to say something. I may be offending you, and if I have, then we can fight it out in the lobby. And frankly, if you're offended by what I say, Jesus said, you need to come tell me that I offended you. But I'm going to say something, and I just want you to hear me. Jesus did not die to save America. He died to save Americans. And if we aren't promoting that, what in the world are we talking about? He did not die to save Babylon. He died to save Babylonians. He didn't die to save Germany. He died to save Germans. He didn't die to save Canada. He died to save Canadians. And our responsibility is to promote the gospel of Jesus, to be passionately in love with God, to pray more than we post, to spend time with God and God's people, to affirm, to let people have differing opinions, and let the bond of unity and peace and love be our guiding light. Church, listen, I'm only responsible to you. I'm responsible for you. And I've been, as a pastor, harassed. I've been having people message and tell me where I need to stand and why won't I come out and speak against this or for this and all. I got all those opinions, and I'm right about every one of them. My opinions on the vaccine, about this COVID, about masks, my opinions about who should be president, when I should run, all of that. I know what I know, and I'm right. But I don't live my life for me. I live my life unto Jesus, and I live my life for you. And I want to challenge you to set aside your agendas. Quit asking me to stand with you. I'm not going to. I'm going to stand with Jesus. I'm not going to stand on your side for Biden or for Trump. I'm not going to stand on your side against Biden or against Trump. I'm not going to stand on your side about vaccines or about COVID-19. I'm not going to stand on your side. I'm going to stand with those who weep, those who grieve, those who are hurting, those who are sick. I'm going to pray with the sick who are in the hospital right now. We've got a lady in our church who literally has been on a ventilator for a week, and we're praying every day. That's where I'm standing. But we're going to stand with Jesus, who never fought Rome. Jesus never came up against Caesar. He didn't say, now that I've defeated the cross, let me go kick the crap out of all these nations. He never fought Rome. He fought for the soul of people. And I want to just challenge you as your pastor, okay? If I've offended you, you go, I can't go to this guy's church anymore. Well, we needed the room, frankly. I mean, it's social distancing. It's a problem. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Oh, that was too far. I love you. I feel called to pastor you, man. Listen, Babylon may fall apart, but the kingdom of heaven lasts forever. Please don't forget what kingdom you belong to. I love America. I hate what happened last week, but I love Jesus more. And please do not divide against the body of Christ. Do not. I've watched it happen. I've watched pastors come against pastors, Christians come against Christians. Don't lose your ability to be civil and shine brighter than ever as the body of Christ. And I think we lead the way in prayer. So I want to pray. We're in 21 days of fasting with prayer. Come on, if you're only fasting and just going hungry, you're just dieting. If you're not praying, you need to pray every day. So let me lead us in prayer. This is off my notes. I'll get to my sermon in a minute. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? Will you let me just pastor you a little bit? Psalm 23 is a model for every pastor. The writer of the psalm says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Let me, as your pastor, lead you to green pastures. Let me tell you something. Any leader that leads you into turmoil and disarray and chaos is not a good leader. He says, he makes me lie down in green pastures and by still waters. My job is not to stir up your dissonance. My job is to lead you to places of peace, to be a people of peace, to lead you into the kingdom of God. I have all kinds of thoughts and feelings about all this stuff. But my assignment is unto the Lord. When the disciples came to Jesus at one point, they go, now will you establish your kingdom on earth? Like, are you going to build a palace, build an army, and just like rule from here? And he just looked at his own disciples and he goes, you still don't get it. My kingdom will be on the inside of my people. Hey, kingdom of God people, let him reign. Let him reign you. Let him rule you and act like he rules your life. Amen, everyone? Father, God, have your way in us. Forgive us, Lord, where we've lost the reality that you are the God of our hearts and our lives. Forgive us, Lord, where we've lost sense of the fact that you reign and rule in us. And Lord, America is different today than we've ever known it. You are not surprised. You are not rattled. So we won't be either. God, would you remind us to shine bright as the people of God, as the people of heaven? Would you remind us, Lord, to walk in peace and joy, hope and love? God, these are not just taglines that we throw on Christian t-shirts, God. This is the way of life for Christians. God, we see clearly what's happening. We see muddy what's happening. We're not sure. We've got anxiety and fear and anger and frustration. God, we have all these opinions. But Lord, may we rest in the knowledge that you know all things. God, I pray right now, Jesus, you said what's done in secret will be brought to light. And many of us are just saying, you know, we want things to be clear and honesty. So God, we put it in your hands. I don't put it in the hands of media news or political leaders. I put it in your hands to let what's done in secret be brought to light. Let truth prevail. And God, I can have peace to know that you'll let that happen. Lord, help us as the church to take a deep breath, to live as unto the Lord, whatever happens, living in a way that honors Jesus. Now, God, we give you the rest of the service time. We ask for your lead and your spirit to guide us in Jesus' name. Amen. LifePoint, I love you so much. I'm so honored to serve you. And in times like this, I want to leverage my voice the best I know how. But I just want to tell you again, like I'm responsible for you as your pastor. So thank you for letting me serve you. It is truly the joy and the privilege of my life. Thank you so much. Hey, as we are in the middle of 21 days of fasting and prayer, what a time our country needs somebody praying. So I want to invite you to join us if you haven't already in fasting. And while you're fasting, we're asking you that whatever money you save, that you would provide clean drinking water through these water filters. And we've done this for the last couple of years, so if you've been here, you know what this is about. But if not, we've partnered with Convoy of Hope to provide clean drinking water through these filters. These will filter almost 1 million gallons of water for families all around the world, even as close as Flint, Michigan. I mean, these are going there too. So $25 will provide one filter, and I would encourage everybody to provide one for everyone in their family. All right, hey, we're in 21 days of fasting, and we're in the beginning of 2020 or 2021, and I started this series called Jesus in the 20s, and it was really motivated by looking at chapters 20 throughout the Bible. And today's text I was really the most excited about because it's John 20:21. Come on, somebody. Isn't it fun to preach John 20:21 in 2021? So if you have your Bible, since you brought it, go ahead and turn there with me. And last week we looked at Psalm 20, God's promises to answer you, protect you, to help you, to support you, to remember you, to favor you, to give you gifts of the of desires of your heart, and to fulfill the desires that he's given you. So now in John 20:21, this was actually the verse that I was most excited about because the address matched the year that we're in. John 20:21, I've titled the message, Receive All of Jesus. Receive All of Jesus. Now, if you're here as a Christian, you go, I've already received Jesus. What do I need this message for? Just stay with me. There's layers in this text of what Jesus is trying to teach us. And you're going to see in a moment how completely appropriate this verse is for this week that we're living in. I just think God is so smart. I mean, it was 2 months ago, 3 months ago that we were talking about this series. And I was like, I want to preach John 20:21 as the second week of the sermons. And here's the text we're preaching today. You're going to kind of eye roll going, this is amazing. So stay tuned. But I love John's gospel. I preached 19 months through John a couple years ago, or 14 months through John, especially he does a great job of showing the power of Jesus, the promises that Jesus offers, specifically the plan of God for the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of God activated in our life and his place in our life. So John 20 now comes on the back end of the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In fact, let me give you the kind of context here. Jesus has been crucified. He was in the ground for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday morning he's resurrected. And so far he has revealed himself or been seen by, according to John's gospel, just a few of the followers of Christ, particularly Mary Magdalene, and then Peter, his best buddy, and then John, the beloved disciple, who we estimate John was one of the younger disciples and probably the one who wrote the letter of John. The other disciples are in hiding. They're in quarantine in a lockdown. That's why I said I think this text is so awesome. The other disciples are in a lockdown, hidden away in quarantine. I don't think they were in masks, but they were certainly locked down, and they were in fear of the political leadership of the day. They're in hiding, fearful of being arrested or crucified, like their Savior, Jesus, who was just crucified, and now he went through the cross, and he's gone, and they don't know where he's at. Do y'all not see this irony? And so then all of a sudden, the Bible says that Jesus appeared to them in the room. Doors are locked, windows are closed. Jedi. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm in a locked room with my homies, and all of a sudden a guy that I thought was dead just shows up, I'm going to at least spit my cereal out or poop my pants. You know what I'm saying? That's a crazy moment. And so Jesus starts in the room. He's just there, right? I don't know how to even present that to you. But he starts by telling them to receive his peace. Watch this, verse 19. John chapter 20, verse 19. He's been crucified, resurrected. Most of them have not seen him. So far, we only see that three of them have seen Jesus. Two of the original disciples, because Judas is dead, and Mary Magdalene. So three of 12 people have seen him. So that means the other nine haven't. And he just shows up in the room. By the way, fully in flesh and clothes. I don't know how he did it. It's cool. On the evening of that day, Sunday, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. Now, the Jewish leaders were the ones that had Christ crucified in cahoots with the Roman leadership. They had him crucified on a cross, killed, buried in a borrowed tomb, etc. Now they're afraid they're going to be crucified through the Roman system, flogged, imprisoned for the rest of their life, their whole family. So they're deathly afraid of what's about to happen to them politically, socially, etc. You get the picture. They're locked away, fear of the Jews. Jesus come and stood among them. And here's what he said. Peace be with you. Okay, what an interesting first thing. If it were me, I'd be like, what's up, fellas? You know, like, I'm here, JC in the house. You know, I would have said something. His first thing, peace be with you. Then, verse 21 says, he showed the disciples his hands and his side to prove that he was Christ, resurrected, you know, crucified, and the scars were there. Then the disciples were glad when they saw him. They recognized the Lord. Oh, God's here. The Lord is here. And he said to them again, peace be with you. Now, I preached this back at Christmas. I'm so concerned that we absolutely need to hear this again. Listen, we've all watched the news this past week. We've been upset, stressed out, angered, anxious, and more because we just aren't sure what's happening. We're not sure what's about to happen, what may happen. And most of all, we're not responsible. We're not sure who's responsible. And that was also all of 2020. I want you to just be my friend for a moment. If you can, just drop your political partisanship or your bandwagon thoughts about everything going on in the last 9 months. Just be Mike's friend. We're at Starbucks having coffee or Lassiter's. We're just drinking at the coffee shop. There are real fears and real anger and real emotions and real rage and real concern in the world that we're living in today. There's concern for what's at stake politically and economically in the future of our country. There are people really excited about what's happening for our country. There are folks that are really nervous and upset. And think about this moment for these disciples. You think they would have broke up already, but now they're back together and they're nervous and they're scared to death. And the very moment Jesus enters the room in John 20, the Bible says that they were in lockdown because they were scared of the Jewish leaders who had just crucified their Savior with the Roman officials. Now they were concerned that they'd also be killed, crucified, families arrested, their freedoms taken away. Sounds super familiar, doesn't it? Are y'all watching like anything on the news right now? We've lived this past year with fear, with lockdowns, fear and anxiety as major feelings. People are fearful in lockdowns about a pandemic. They're fearful about what's going to happen to them because of the color of their skin. People are in fear about election results, about pulling back based on either Trump or Biden actually being president. There's talk now about more civil unrest coming in the days to come. And twice when Jesus enters the room, he doesn't speak about any of the things they're afraid of, but he speaks to their issue of fear, and he says twice, peace be with you. He doesn't come in and go, hey guys, I'm here. Peace is here. He doesn't say, I'm here. Rather, he says, peace is here. He doesn't say, hey, here's some healing. Here's a resolution to your problems. Here's an answer to that theological question you had the other day, Thomas. He doesn't say, hey, Thaddeus, I saw what you did last night, you dirtbag. You know, he didn't come in and say anything else. He just came in and addressed their immediate need. Hey, peace be with you. Twice he said it. It was such a gnawing thing for them that he had to address it to them twice. And can I tell you, I think that's where many of us are. You need to understand that the peace of God is available to you. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Listen to me. Peace is not the absence of problems. Peace is the presence of Jesus. Notice Jesus didn't go, I'll take care of the Romans. I'll take care of the Jewish leaders. Don't you worry about them. I'm back. I'm super Jesus now. I'm resurrected Jesus. I'm white robe Jesus. I'm scarred up Jesus. No bloody Jesus. I'll take care of all these suckers. He didn't say any of that. He goes, hey, I'm here so you be at peace. You ever have those moments when like someone comes in the room and just calms you down and like gives you peace and like, whew, they're here. That is your life as a Christian. Did you hear what I said? That is your life as a Christian. You can be at peace. And peace is not the absence of problems. Things may continue to spiral and go crazy and be difficult, but peace is the presence of Jesus. And because you belong to him, you can have peace from God. Look, I'm going to tell you, like I said it on my live video I did this week, the problems of this world may never resolve. The race issues, the economic problems, the progression towards things against Scripture may never come back. Redefinition of marriage, sexual revolutionary things. But Jesus brings peace. And that's the only way that our world will ever truly know peace. Jesus said it like this in John 14. He goes, "Peace I leave with you." He didn't say, "I'm going to leave you a manual on how to build churches and how to win everybody over." He just goes, "I'm leaving you my peace." He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you." Can you think for a moment? Is Jesus at all rattled about what's happening in our world today? No. He's totally at peace. And he goes, "And that's what I want for you. My peace I leave you." And look what he says. "Not like the world gives this to you, but I give to you." Not like resolution in Washington would bring you peace. That's still not peace. We've been trying to get peace from Washington for 275 years. He goes, "Not like the economy would give you peace. Not like your 401k would resolve. Not like the numbers would be up and to the right and that'll give you peace. Nothing this world has to offer will ultimately give you peace, peace with God, peace like God has." And then look at the directive he gives. The implied subject here is, "You do not let your hearts be troubled." And many of us, we sure have, haven't we? Maybe I'm talking to first service crowd. Y'all don't have to amen me at all today. Many of us have let our hearts be troubled. But he goes, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. You choose that. I can't choose what goes on out there, but I can choose how I respond to it. I'm going to watch. I'm not going to bury my head in the sand. I'm not going to pretend this stuff isn't happening, but I don't want to let it trouble me." Now, I'll be honest. At the house, Stephanie and I talk about this stuff, and I'm troubled. I'm bothered. So I go to prayer. I don't go to posting. I don't go to parlor. That's the new, you know, whatever. I go to prayer. I go to Jesus. I go back to my first love. That's what he calls us to. That parlor thing was a joke. Some of y'all got it. Okay, thanks. He said, "You don't let your hearts be troubled. You don't let your hearts be afraid." Can I just say something tough to you guys as a pastor? Come on, tell me you love me. Say, "I love you." Say it, pastor. Say, "Bring it, preacher." If you're currently not that close to Jesus, you're probably very disturbed. Your level of disruption is probably related to your closeness to Jesus. But if you're drawing close to him, and we're in a season of fasting with prayer, that's why we're doing it. I mean, if ever I felt like providentially God wanted us to be in a season of fasting and prayer. As you're drawing and staying close to Christ, you will find and have and live in the Lord's peace. And it won't even make sense. People are like, "Aren't you upset? Don't you care?" "Yeah, but I'm not letting it trouble me." "Oh, you're just burying your head in your sand. You're just stupid religious fanatic." "No, I just have peace from God. I can't explain it. It doesn't even make sense to me." "What do you mean you have peace from God? Do you not know the world's falling apart?" "I do. And he actually said it would happen a long time ago, so I'm not terribly surprised. I wish the previous generation lived through it, or my grandkids, but, you know, hey, somebody's got to go through the end times." I'm not trying to be cavalier. I'm just trying to be at peace. I don't want anyone to suffer. I don't want anyone to fight. I don't want any more of this drama. But we can have peace because of the presence of Jesus. Just go back to that text. When Jesus showed up, he goes, "Peace be with you." And can I tell you something, church? Because you belong to Jesus, peace be with you. And because you belong to Jesus, the message you give the world, peace be with you. We need to tell others, "Peace be with you. Hey, may the peace of God be with you." When they're fighting and yelling and shouting at you and they're telling you all the things they're stressed about, peace be with you. Can I pray with you? "Hey, let me lay hands on you and just pray for God's peace." "I don't want that magic. I don't want that mythology. Get that off me. I want answers." "Peace be with you. And peace out, because you're crazy." Peace out. Peace. So I want you to receive the peace of God. Church, look at me. Life Point all around the world. Germany, we got folks in Knoxville. Washington, Florida, Hawaii. Come on, Hawaii campus. Y'all ain't struggling. They're out there on the beach talking about, "Oh, aliki mahu." I don't even speak Hawaiian. Sipping out of pineapples, eating food from downtown Clarksville. Talking about, hey, peace. Be at peace, church. Second thing I want you to do is receive the Spirit of God. Now, this is where I'm going to rub some of y'all a little bit. Depending on your church background, you may be like, oh, Lord, what kind of church did I come to? A Christian one. I want to encourage you to receive the Holy Spirit. Like, what I mean by that is stop blocking the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. And stop, like, I've just been around Christians a long time, 20 years I've been pastoring, and I know Christians that love God the Father, have accepted Jesus the Son, not quite sure what to do with the Holy Spirit. You're not saved without the Holy Spirit. You might as well just lay back and let it happen. Receive the Holy Spirit. Just receive the Holy Spirit. In verse 21 and 22, Jesus says, as the Father sent me, the Son, even so I am sending you. We'll talk about this in just a minute. And when he said this, look at this. Jesus breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, he didn't say, here's a manual. Here's a guidebook. Here's a list of rules. Here's how to divide yourselves denominationally. Here's how to tick off people. He goes, receive my Spirit. And I'm telling you, this is so incredible. He enters into the lockdown with the disciples. He tells them to be at peace twice. Then as a result of being at peace, on the back end of receiving God's peace, Jesus gives them the gift that he'd been promising for months. In fact, if you go back and read John 14, 15, and 16, multiple times, Jesus promises that after his assignment on earth, that the Father would send the third part of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, to us. And if you read through those chapters, you'll see, look, Jesus says the Holy Spirit will be your helper. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit will dwell on the inside of you. The Holy Spirit will teach us truth. The Holy Spirit will remind us of Jesus and his words. The Holy Spirit is in us. He is among us. The Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father. The Holy Spirit always directs us to Jesus. The Holy Spirit is our advantage. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. The Holy Spirit convicts us of righteousness. The Holy Spirit gifts us. The Holy Spirit guides us into truth and always glorifies Jesus. I'm here to tell you, when Jesus came into their lockdown, when Jesus showed up in the midst of their fear, when Jesus walks into this room today or your living room or your beach place in Hawaii, wherever you're joining us online, he comes with his peace, which we all need, and then he comes with the promise of himself, his Holy Spirit. Listen, if you're a Christian, then you have the promise of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John 14, I have to go back to the Father. I'm going to go at the right hand of the Father and pray for you, but the promise, wait on the promise of God's Spirit to come and dwell on the inside of you. Man, we've learned this as evangelicals and coming up in church where it's like, pray this prayer, receive Jesus into your heart. I feel like Jesus is like, I'm up in heaven. Quit asking me to come in your heart, it's too small. He didn't really say that. It's not Jesus who came into your heart, it's the Holy Spirit of God who came into your heart. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. It's the Spirit that comes on the inside of you. Jesus came in their lockdown and he goes, I got a promise for you. Just wait. Holy Spirit's coming on you. If you're a Christian, listen to me. You have the promise of the Holy Spirit. And go back to what he's promised to do to you. He's going to help you. He's going to teach you truth. He's going to dwell on the inside of you. He's going to empower you. He's going to be among you. He's going to be a gift from the Father. He's going to convict you of sin. He's going to guide you into truth. And always he's going to glorify Jesus. If anything on the inside of you is happening that's not glorifying Jesus, then that's not the Holy Spirit at work in you. If you're a Christian, you have this Holy Spirit available to you, ready for you, accessible to you. But he didn't say, I'm throwing it onto you and I'm going to possess you with the Holy Spirit. He's giving us the option to receive the Holy Spirit. Many of us have loved the Father and received the Son, accepted the Son, but we haven't known what to do with the Holy Spirit. Can I just be honest? I'm going to be honest. You're not even saved unless it's the Holy Spirit sealing the work of salvation in your life. You ain't even saved without the Holy Spirit doing it, so just accept it, receive it. You're not a Christian apart from the Holy Spirit at work on the inside of you. It's not Jesus living in your heart. It's the Holy Spirit living in you. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. The Holy Spirit is on the inside of you. This is, I think, a major difference in religion, like Christocentric religious people and Christians. Like there's a lot of people that believe Jesus is real, but haven't surrendered to life of the Spirit and life with God. Jesus said, receive the Holy Spirit. His breathing on them was an act of showing the Holy Spirit as the breath of God. I want to be careful that we don't make that a category of something that we do to one another. But he's so much more than that. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is God. There's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. and the command from Jesus was to receive him fully. All these disciples had grown up with God the Father and had finally received Jesus and believed in him, especially like even Thomas, now that he's seen the scars, he's like, okay, now I believe in you. And Jesus is saying, you need to receive the Holy Spirit. Church, have you received the Holy Spirit? Have you accepted the reality of the work of the Holy Spirit in your life? Have you not only believed in the work of Jesus on the cross and his resurrection, but have you surrendered to the presence and the power and the activity of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you? It's the Holy Spirit who convicts you of sin. It's the Holy Spirit that can equip you and empower you and remind you of God's word that you can share faith with others. It's the Holy Spirit who gifts you to lay hands on the sick, to have faith, to move mountains. The Holy Spirit will enable you to speak in other tongues, to walk in victory over sin, to bear Christian fruit like love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's the Holy Spirit. And Jesus' admonition to them is be at peace and receive the Holy Spirit. If you're turned up and all twisted up about what's happening, that's a matter of prayer. If you're walking in godlessness and you're just not walking in victory and walking by faith, you need to receive the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying this to condemn you. I'm saying this to charge you in Jesus' name. Are you open to the Holy Spirit? So we receive peace from God and we receive the Holy Spirit. We're going to pray in a moment for our whole church. And I think you should pray this all the time, every day. God, I give you my whole life. Jesus, I'll follow you faithfully. Holy Spirit, lead me, guide me, direct me, fill me. That's the way we pray. Y'all hearing what I'm saying? You know God's Trinity, right? Finally, we receive the mission of Jesus. So the title of the message, I said, we're going to receive all of Jesus. So we're going to receive peace from God. We're going to receive the Holy Spirit of God. And we're going to receive the mission of Jesus. Go back to verse 21. Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me the Son, even so I am sending you. Then he says, receive the Holy Spirit. And he connects the dots between the mission of Jesus, the mission of the Father, the mission of Jesus, and receiving the Holy Spirit. So listen, Jesus was on assignment. In fact, if you study out the original language here of the word sent and sending, there's this idea of short-term assignment. There's something that God had sent Jesus for a time to be on assignment to us, and now Jesus is sending for a longer assignment, a different type of assignment, but also on assignment is sending us. And as you read John's gospel, you see that motif throughout the gospel. Jesus was here for a season on assignment from God for us. So he says, receive the Holy Spirit. There's a direct connection between the assignment that God has for Jesus and then the assignment that God has for us to reach the world, preach the gospel, preach hope to our hopeless world. And it's the Holy Spirit that's sealing all of that together and bringing it all to bear. Listen, Jesus doesn't just heal us. He wants to offer us peace. He doesn't just save us. He's now sending us. And where he's sending us and to whom is he sending us? To the world that so desperately needs God. Listen, you are not alone and you're not to go out on your own. You're to go out in the power of the Holy Spirit. Many of us are divided and fighting because we're going out in our own strength, our own ambition, our own drive, trying to win fights that God's like, I'm not even in that fight. I love the order of this thing. Look at this. God the Father sent God the Son on mission. You ready? It's in your Bible right here. As the Father sent me, watch. God the Father sent God the Son. God the Son sent God's Son's people. He sent us. It would make sense that God the Father sent the Son, God the Son sent the Holy Spirit. And that's because many of us kind of have this stepson idea of God's, there's the Father, then his boy, then that weird spirit. And we've made them three subjugated things. But God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are equal. They're one all the time. And look here, God the Father sent the Son. God the Son sent his followers. And God the Spirit empowers us as we go. Notice the activity of the Trinity in this one verse. God the Father has sent, and Jesus said, as the Father sent me. In other words, in the same way, just like God sent me, I'm sending you. Hey, look at me, LifePoint. Look at me, church. You are to be sent people. Your ministry and your message, you go, well, that's just for preachers. That's just for event. No, it's for Christians. These are disciples. They're a ragtag team of fishermen and bankers. They don't know what they're doing. And God said, I'm sending you. And then look, and I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to help you. He convicts you. He'll guide you into truth. He'll lead you. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Man, I love this. So we receive the peace from God. We receive the Spirit of God. And we receive the mission from Jesus. And then he has this random last thing that he says that honestly, I didn't know what to do with it. I thought I'm going to end at verse 22. You never deal with distress if you're not a preacher, but sometimes you read passages and you're like, I don't want to preach that. That's going to offend a whole bunch of people. Okay, you guys know I don't care about that so much. But this verse is like, it kind of feels like it's out of left field a little bit. He's like, receive the Spirit, go. And then he says, and if you forgive the sins of any, then they are forgiven them. But if you withhold forgiveness from anybody, then it is withheld. And I sat with that verse for a long time. I'm like, God, what are you saying through this verse? And I think Jesus is reminding us that we're to be at peace, reminding us that we're to be filled with the Spirit, reminding us that we're on mission. And then here's what he's saying. And as you go, walk in forgiveness, walk in grace, walk in mercy towards people. Listen, don't let unforgiveness slow you down. Don't be angry at people who disagree with you. Don't hold grudges. That is a major problem that we're facing right now. In fact, if anything will disunify the church, it's that we won't reach the very people that we're mad at, and that we're mad at them because they need to be reached by God. We can't show kindness, forgiveness, or mercy. We would rather cancel you than have compassion for you. We would rather shame you than speak to you. But consider the timing of this message from Jesus. 3 days after being brutally beaten, spat upon, mocked, and crucified for the sins of the world that he himself never committed, he tells his disciples not to go start a war, not to get payback, not to, okay, now let's go rattle sabers and do something. He goes, no, forgive them all. Forgive everybody who's offended you. Forgive any of them. And Jesus, of all people, had the right to hold something against somebody. And he goes, just forgive them all. And he's saying, if you'll forgive them, they're forgiven. Now, I want to be careful because some of us have a God complex, and I read a verse like this, and I'm like, if I forgive them, God will forgive them. If I withhold forgiveness, God won't forgive them. He don't work for you. This is about you. Here's what Jesus is saying. If you'll forgive people, hey, some of us need to forgive people that we're watching on the news. We just need to forgive them. I'm so offended by what he said, by what she said, by what they did. Just forgive them. Well, they need to answer for what they've done. Look, my mentor says, I have a really strong justice orientation. I want people to pay for what they did. But Jesus paid for what they did. So it's actually been paid for so that I can forgive them. So I need to forgive the people in the media that are driving me bananas. I need to forgive the folks that have assaulted me about stuff. Personally, that's just confession time. I've been on the back end of some really terrible things people have said to me about where I stand on race or politics or how I'm not saying enough about this, that, or the other as a pastor and a leader, and who do you think you're a coward and all these kind of things. And I just have to choose to forgive them or shoot them. I'm just gonna forgive them. I got in a fight this week with somebody super close to me via text. And my temptation was to lash out and to win an argument because I work with words as a profession. And I just chose to say nothing, to confess my anger to my brother and my wife. And I just chose to forgive. Because here's what he's saying. If you'll forgive them, then they're forgiven in your heart. And here's the other side of that. If you won't forgive people, then you're carrying unforgiveness. And let me tell you something. Unforgiveness is your problem, never theirs. For all of you that are mad at, hey, let me just name somebody. All of you that are mad at Mitch McConnell, he don't care that you're mad at him. For all of you that are mad at Donald Trump, he doesn't even think about you being mad at him. All of you that are mad at Biden and what you think about the election, he doesn't care. Unforgiveness is your problem. And here's the reality. Your ability to walk in peace, to be spirit-led, and to be on mission will absolutely be hindered by your inability to forgive the very people God wants you to reach. Let me say that one more time because I just said it on the fly. And I didn't write it down. Your ability to be at peace, to be spirit-filled and led, and to be on mission for Jesus will be directly hindered by your inability to forgive anybody. Forgive everybody. I've been truly shocked at the way people are treating people right now. I'm truly shocked. And I want to be to a place where I go, I forgive. I'm not going to hold that against you. I want justice, but I can. God gave justice on Jesus. I can forgive. You know what you need? You don't need to be right. You need to be saved. You know what you need there, sir, ma'am? You don't need to be proven right. You need to be given peace in the Spirit of God. You need salvation. Man, if you will please forgive, then forgive. Our world is broken. People are afraid. Things may not be getting better. And God is with us. He still says, peace be with us. Peace be with you. Be filled with the Spirit. Listen, our world needs the church to be different. Can I ask you, LifePoint, don't leave here and be like, that was a great message, very encouraging. Now back to my news channel and anger and rage and posts. And that preacher can't tell me what to do. Hear the word of the Lord. I didn't write this Bible. Our world needs the church to be different, to rise and stand apart, to receive the Holy Spirit, to be Spirit-filled, Spirit-led, fruit of the Spirit people. Will you be a church that Jesus has called you to be? Full of peace and full of the Spirit and on assignment. You know, the folks that you disagree with the most probably needs the gospel you believe the most. Our world is broken. Our world doesn't need your solution. They need your Jesus. And God has sent him for a season, and now he has sent us for this season. I think the brightest days of the church are ahead of us. Preach the word, be passionate, be Spirit-filled, and be at peace. We want to train you with some of this in our small groups. We're starting Rooted again. We're starting Alpha for the first time. I'm so excited about that. In February, I'm doing a financial peace series, and we're giving financial peace to everybody. We want to help equip you and empower you. Lean into your church. Belong to the body of Christ. This is a place where God meets us, and we have peace, and we're filled with the Spirit, and we stay on mission. Did y'all get anything out of the message today? If I offended you, I'll take it. Because I don't answer to you. I serve you. I answer to the Lord, and I'm responsible to him for you. Does that make sense, everybody? Hey, these are dark days. We're not going to dismiss that. Peace be with you. Let me pray. Father, we love you. We honor you, and we thank you for Jesus. Thank you for this word. Thank you for the peace of God that's beyond understanding. Thank you, God. Some of us just needed to take a deep breath today, just to sigh and say, okay, God, you're bigger than this. It was worse for those disciples fearing for their own lives and the crucifixion of their master. God, it's bad for many of us, and we're nervous and anxious, but God, peace be with us. Lord, we thank you that you'd fill us with your Spirit. In fact, can everybody just open their hands to the Lord? You don't need me to come lay hands on you. You don't need any of that formula. I don't need to breathe on you. Plus, I'm not Jesus. Come on, would you open your hands to the Lord and pray this with me and say, I receive the Holy Spirit. Come on, say it again. I receive the Holy Spirit. Fill me, Holy Spirit. Comfort me, Holy Spirit. Teach me, Holy Spirit. Empower me, Holy Spirit. Gift me, Holy Spirit. I receive the Holy Spirit of God and say, I receive the peace of God. Say, I receive my assignment from Jesus to reach this world. To God be the glory. Lord, we love you. We honor you and thank you in Jesus' name.